Hey, it's Monday, September 27th, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Erica.
Hey, Deb.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute or 12. I don't know how many minutes it's been. It's been a lot.
That's all right.
This is the time of the world. Mm-hmm. When things, you know, priorities shift from day to day.
It's, I'm actually, I don't know about you, but I am a little bit more enthusiastic about hockey this year than I was last year.
I was until yesterday.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that.
We'll get to that.
So, but I don't know whether it's because there's more COVID protocols in place or the vaccination rate, at least Ryan is looking better. I don't know. I feel like I don't want to say post-COVID because we were definitely not post-COVID.
Oh, God, no. Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like, okay, this is a thing that we have to live with. Let's all be smart. Let's all be careful and do what we need to do. And, you know, we can navigate this landscape. I didn't feel that way last year.
I'm jealous of that feeling because I certainly don't feel that way right now. But I had a spark of that for a few months a while ago when mm-hmm. I still thought that was possible here in Alberta. So I understand where you are because it's where I was a while back.
That's where I am. And I think depending on where you are listening to this, you may have one reaction or the other. Uh-huh. And what, I hate to say what the political leanings of your particular state, county, township, whatever.
It matters.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely matter. We are a pretty pro-vaccine area that I live in. So
we are not. Well, my city is, but mm-hmm. as a province, Alberta, not as much. Not as much.
So and that makes a difference.
Yeah. So I'm currently, I guess I'm speaking for the people who are still not as excited about hockey as they would like to be, simply because everything else is so crap.
Yeah. But even if you're sitting at home and watching it, I didn't even have the desire to watch it last year. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, other than, you know, I would stop in before. I'd be like looking at that it was the NHL app. And like, okay, what games are on tonight? You know, what can I watch? And it felt icky. And I know I talked about this last year. I don't feel like mm-hmm. that now. I feel like I can watch a game on TV and I'd be like excited about it.
It's so funny because I feel like we've kind of traded places because that's how I feel right now. Like, Steven had the Toronto-Montreal game on mm-hmm. yesterday and I was just like, I feel icky about it. Whereas last season, I didn't feel as icky about it. I mean, I felt icky, as we talked about, because I didn't like the fact that it was happening at all. Mm-hmm. But at that time, there weren't really vaccinations and everybody was kind of in the same boat. And right. Now the fact that there are vaccinations and there are so many people choosing not to get them and the protocols, which we will talk about later, are piecemeal and different and people are interpreting them differently. And mm-hmm. some places have editable PDFs as their vaccine passports. Alberta. I'm still really not that excited about hockey, but I'm honestly hoping that just chatting with you about it today is going to help pep me up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I am not 100% comfortable with going to see a hockey game in person. Mm-hmm. Just because I was looking at Wells Fargo's policy and they are not requiring I'll set this back. I live outside of Philadelphia. I work in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia has reinstated their mask mandate. So you have a choice. You can either require masks inside your building or a proof of vaccination. Now, obviously, depending on what type of business that you're in, proof of vaccination is much more difficult than just saying, hey, everybody put a mask on your gaping maw. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just a universal thing. So they are not requiring proof of vaccination at the Wells Fargo Center. They are requiring everyone to wear a mask unless you are actively eating and drinking, which that's like the loophole that... Now, I am a season ticket member or season ticket holder of the Philadelphia Union, which is outside. And I have been going.
Soccer, right?
Soccer, yes. There's MLS team. And I have been going to those games as of like June of this year. But I still do wear my mask unless I am actively eating and drinking. But I'm also outside,
yeah,
which is
a
little bit different. I just don't know that I would feel super comfortable with that, knowing that there is still a contingency of people that will just kind of push that as far as they can possibly be. Like, well, I'm holding my drink. I'm going to take a drink any second. My mask is down. So I don't feel 100% comfortable actually physically going to a game yet. That may change, but right now I think I'd be content to watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. But some stuff happened over the summer, and I thought let's do a quick touch on that, and then we'll get back to our grievances with the NHL COVID policies. The Kraken had their draft.
They did.
We have a whole new team now. In the NHL.
Mm-hmm. It was, I feel like the presentation of it, because like I still wasn't super excited about hockey itself and players and stuff. So as I watched the presentation of their new players, I was more watching for the, I don't know, like the videography of it, the filmography, mm-hmm. the way it was presented, the showmanship, all that kind of stuff. And I think that they did a nice job. I think that they
did.
Presented themselves as a team that we hope will be fun to watch, that is really invested in the city of Seattle and the fans. And I think they did a really nice job of showcasing a bunch of different locations around the city. There was, you know, some weirdness, but there's always going to be a little weirdness when you're trying to do a video production in a lot of it in a single day in COVID times. Mm-hmm. So there was some weirdness. But overall, I really enjoyed watching that.
It was, you know, it was a lot of fun to see the enthusiasm of the city. I mean, that city has embraced this team. I think the world has embraced the team. We were talking before we started recording. You know, I saw somebody a week before last walking around with a Seattle Kraken hat on. Like, it is just a bomb logo. Do you know
it's
what I mean?
It's so good. I know multiple non-hockey fans, and I don't mean like just people who aren't hockey fans. I mean people who genuinely don't like hockey, but who are kind of like, I might get a Kraken t-shirt or a hat or something because that logo is so amazing.
It is so sweet. So that part was fun. I have to say a couple things about that draft. I was a little less than enthusiastic about it because they named Dave Hackstall as their head coach. And as everyone should know, or maybe you don't, and I'll enlighten you, he was the previous coach of the Philadelphia Flyers before Elaine Vigneault took over. It was not a success. It got pretty ugly there towards the end, you know, when the fans are booing the coach aggressively and loudly, and Philadelphia fans can be a little on the rude side at times.
For new hockey fans, if you're trying to get into hockey and listening now, that is a thing to know about. Each fan group has their sort of stereotypical stuff that they're known for. That's what Philly's known for.
And you know, it's a citywide logo. Nobody likes us, and we don't care. Like, that's basically what the Philadelphia sporting scene logo is. And honestly, it's true. I can't lie. But
and they didn't hold back with Hackstall.
No, they absolutely did not. And he really did some things that just puzzled fans. You know, he came up, he was a college coach, and everybody was like, this is wonderful because we have built a tremendous pipeline of young, talented players who some fans felt needed to be pushed a little harder rather than, you know, being developed. Let's get them out there and see what they could do. And that was a frustration with the previous coach. And then Dave Hackstall came in and was like, okay, we've got these young players. He's a great person to mentor them and to bring them into the system. How's this going to work? And he just didn't. He was the type of coach who turned out to reward grit and I don't even know. Like, he loved his fourth liners, and they would just get big minutes where he would sit out the younger players to teach them, you know, as an example, or to teach them a lesson because they weren't putting the effort out or something. And it's, you know, again, what do you get more results with, a stick or a carrot? And I think younger hockey fans, and we've talked about this before, or younger hockey players are a different breed of individuals than, you know, the old school of I'm going to kick your ass unless you do this thing. And players be like, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, players are like, whoa, back up. Anyway, I don't think that's going to be a problem with this new team. Now, after he left Philadelphia, he did go on and was an assistant coach in Toronto. I don't know whether he redeemed himself there or wasn't paying too much attention. But I don't think we have to worry that he's going to have a lot of young players to...
not now.
To not deal with well.
The thing that I found the sort of the funniest was that, I mean, I only knew of Dave Haxtell from his coaching time in Philadelphia because I've been doing this podcast with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard you curse his name more than once.
A couple times.
Yep. But I found it interesting that like 90% of the coverage when he was signed to go to Seattle talked about his time with the Maple Leafs and talked about his time in North Dakota.
Yes.
And just skipped over the fact that he coached for Philadelphia
for years.
Four seasons. Yeah. I mean... And nobody mentioned that. And it was like, is this on purpose? Is there some sort of media black? Like, nobody wants to talk about that simply because it's not going to fit in with our hockey narrative of this guy coming in to take over and bring great success to Seattle. And that's what it felt to me. Like, they were eliding this entire section of his history because it didn't fit in with the rah-rah Seattle story that they wanted to tell. Whereas I was looking at it and going, oh, Seattle, I was so excited for you. I thought things were going to be new and great. And now you've taken a step backwards.
Yeah.
And they just ignored the backwards part of that step.
Yeah, it definitely dampened my enthusiasm slightly because I was all in and I'm like, ugh, this guy again. And I do. That you were so absolutely 100% right. I remember when the announcement came, somebody tweeted like, oh, it'll be great at developing a young player. And I just responded, coughs in Philadelphia Flyers. Because it's just, yeah, no, that's not what happened. But Philadelphia Flyers was also his first NHL, like it was his first coaching gig.
Yeah.
So
in the big leagues,
in the big show. So, you know, maybe he learned something and maybe he's a little more seasoned now. And, you know, we took a chance on him and maybe, you know, we had to take those lumps so he could go on to greater things.
You are like the girlfriend who fixes, like not fixes, but teaches the guy how to be a good boyfriend so that he's ready
for the next
woman.
Girl. It's like an or Olivia guy, Rodrigo song, isn't it?
It's yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry that you had to be in that position.
That was
it always sucks. I've been there, man. I have been there.
It's true. All right. So I gotta say, I was looking at that draft. It was a head shaker for me. It really was. It was a head shaker. First of all, it looks like he's building a big, beefy, brawny, gritty team.
Yes, that was the thing. Like, I had to focus on how excited I was about seeing all of the beautiful sights of Seattle, because every time they announced a name, except for Jordan Eberle, whom I will love forever and ever, but so many of them were the big bruiser players whose style of play I do not enjoy at all. And I'm thinking, I was so excited about this team, and now I'm not sure I want to watch them.
Yeah, and like I do, they took Carson Trensky from us, and we're like, what?
I don't even know that name, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, neither do many people in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
I mean, there are a couple like, you know, Adam Larson, which is kind of, you know, a name that's been bandied about in a lot. Jamie Oleksiak is
Adam Larson's style of play is not as brutish.
Right.
You know, he can hit and stuff, but he doesn't have huge penalty minutes like some of the more brutey players do.
The thing that's interesting to me is there's really no big money here.
Yeah.
With the exception, I mean, I think Yanni Gourde has the highest contract of drafted players. And it's like $5 million.
Which, you know, I mean, that actually does put them in a good position to build from here.
Yeah.
They will have the extra money to, I don't know. I mean, Vegas came together in such a different way as the first expansion team in a long, long time. And they were able to find quite a bit of success right off the bat because they got all of these like solid players.
Right.
And they, like, we knew that was not going to be able to happen again because everybody's wise to it. They're not going to do a whole bunch of like trades before the draft. And all the other GMs are like, we're not making that same sort of mistake again. So I think maybe what Seattle is going to have to do is just suss out what kind of team they have during the first season and then use their extra bucks to not necessarily plug the gaps, but to try to build on the foundation that they have. And, they, you know, it is a literally strong and large and chunky foundation.
It really is. And, you know, it's the thing at the time. I mean, we were all saying that Seattle wasn't drafting for the team it wanted. It was drafting for the team that it wanted to get. So they're drafting for pieces. And I don't know. I take that back because Jordan Eberle's salary is like 5.5 and Mark Giordano's is 6.7. So there, you know, there is some
all
money
right,
there.
Okay.
Yeah, there is some money. But yeah, I'm it was fascinating to me. It was absolutely fascinating. And like, you know, I don't personally look at Mark Giordano as like the big marquee name. Maybe because I am East Coast and it's West Coast, and you know, and I mean, you hear more about him than I do because of the province and yeah.
I mean, I definitely hear more about him, and he's, you know, he's a player with some talent, but he's also another one of those players who's kind of dirty. Like, he doesn't have a reputation for being a dirty player, but when you watch him play as much as we watch him play, oh, he is.
Yeah.
So that's another reason I'm like, I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy watching this team because that's not the style of play that I like.
Yeah. And I think the other thing was, you know, Las Vegas really trotted out Marc-Andre Fleury as sort of the face of, which we'll talk about that too. Marc-Andre Fleury is sort of the face of the franchise, and he is just such a delightful individual. Like, I don't know. I don't get the same vibes from this crew. Like, nope. There's nobody on that team that I'm like, yeah, this is fun. This is cool. Let's do this. So,
there's, to be fair, we have talked about many times, the NHL is not a league that is known for players with personality. It is actually frowned on to have too much personality in the NHL, and that is slowly going away, but it's very, very slow. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Seattle wasn't really able to bring in anybody that has like the speaking ability and charisma and, you know, all that kind of stuff to really be the face of the team.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have like, who is it that takes those ridiculous pictures? Oh, Brandon Tanev.
Like, oh, yes. Who looks like he's seen some stuff.
I know. And he's clearly doing it on purpose. And it's delightful. And I love it. And like, when that's the thing that I think about when I try to think of personality and the Seattle Kraken. It's like, well, I guess that's something.
It's the best
but it's
we
not
got.
Really, yeah. It's not really the same thing as somebody like a Marc-Andre Fleury who is there to smile and just be charming and say, this is our team and we're so excited about it. It's more like, I saw a ghost and we're excited about it. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now, and currently they are, you know, 8.5-ish under cap space. And next year they have got a boatload of RFAs and UFAs they have to deal with. So they took a lot of short-term players on,
which
with expansion.
Work to their advantage because, you know, some of those players might gel really well and some of them might not. And I think the ability to cast off what doesn't work may really be to their advantage. And they might actually be able to take a good solid step forward in year two by being able to, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff.
So it looks like they're going to be hanging on to Jamie Oleksiak and Jaden Schwartz the longest because they all have no move clauses, no trade clauses, and they're under contract through 26-27. Everybody else, a little dicey. All right, so moving on, we will wait and see. I still would love to see a Kraken game this year. My God, do I want to go to that arena the first year?
Yeah.
But
it was a like hardcore goal to go and see them during their first season.
Yeah,
but I feel like the world has other plans for us, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
But we have time. We have time.
It's possible.
It does. All right. So over the summer, things got a little crazy. Marc-Andre Fleury was picked
up.
Yeah. Was like let go from Vegas. And now he's playing for the Blackhawks. Like that's a no.
I am
just
so sad. This is just a heartbreaker. Like, it was so weird when he left Pittsburgh to go to Vegas. But in mm-hmm. that case, he was the face of the new franchise and he was excited about it. And they, you know, and this is him going to a team that I like to pretend doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because of so many awful things that have happened, you know, off ice stuff. I mean, just Google it. It's real bad. And there's thing after thing after thing. And now that he's there, like, Fleury has made some real big mistakes as far as I'm concerned in terms of like his helmet and his pads and the decorations on them, and there's just some really insensitive stuff happening, and it makes me like, if he'd gone somewhere else, maybe that wouldn't have happened. I'm just so sad.
But it's like team after team, and I'm just like, okay, this team doesn't, you know, not paying any attention to that. And yeah, we're not going to get into the Blackhawks saga today, maybe a later episode, but mm-hmm. Just Google it. They're in a world of mess right now with sexual abuse allegations and cover-ups and things. It's just terrible. But that was a shock. That was a surprise. Braden Holtby was bought out. Now he's in Dallas. Dallas has more goaltenders than they know what to do with right now, but they can't keep any of them healthy for a long amount of time.
That's true. That's why you need to have a nice big stable of goalies if you're going to just let them keep getting hurt.
Now, and ever since they traded, who's the player I don't like?
Which one?
I know. My God, why am I drawing such a blank? Anyway, since they traded that guy, back on the Dallas train because Braden Holtby's there, and I just think he and his wife are just amazing people and I love them.
I will cheer for Braden Holtby wherever he goes.
Exactly.
And I'm happy that he's not right next door in Vancouver anymore.
Yeah, that's weird. Let's see, any other long old... Oh, Zdeno Chara signed with the Islanders last week. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, just I was weirded out by him in a Caps uniform last season, and mm-hmm. it's just like, can it get any weirder? Nope. It's just the same amount of weird, I think.
How does he like? I don't even know how he still plays. Honest to God, I mean, I know he is
a machine.
He is a machine, and he is fanatical about his diet and his exercise. Like his body is his job, mm-hmm. and he could still take somebody half his age.
Totally.
But yeah, I mean, at what point do you just say, okay, it's time. Another Jaromir.
You know,
he and Jager are going to be playing in Europe until they're 70.
I respect that. You know, there are a lot of people who, like, you know, when it comes to sports and, you know, rock musicians and stuff, it's like, oh, you should quit where you're ahead. It's embarrassing when you're out there in your 70s and rocking. And I'm like, no, it's not. You do whatever makes you happy. And as long as you are able to do it to a level that, you know, a team or a band or, you know, whatever is going to give you money to keep doing that, there's no shame in keeping it up as long as you want to. So I say go, Zdeno Chara. Like, continue to do what you want for as long as you want, and I will salute you every step along the way.
That's right. As long as you're healthy and as long mm-hmm. as, you know, you're not putting yourself at risk, because hockey is still a dangerous game. As long as you're taking care of yourself and you can still play. Hey, you can play. Isn't that what they say? You can play. Mm-hmm. And he is proof of
that.
Those
are the words.
All right, so talking about another problematic fave who's falling off my list, the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, I loved them so hard, and
I know.
I have turned my back.
So this is sort of a love-hate relationship with Carolina this year, because they signed the bad boy, Tony DeAngelo, to a one-year contract.
Oh,
and he
so mad.
Was poison. He's just poison. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, well, you know, we feel that we can rehabilitate him. Just like, okay, every girl listening to this, we have all had that thought. We thought it just takes the love, just some good love. And this personal turnaround.
The phrase, the quote, the love of a good woman.
Mm-hmm. So they seem to feel that they're going to be able to rehabilitate Tony DeAngelo. And again, we've talked about Tony D on this podcast. Google him if you need some issues. I mean, honestly, he beats up his own teammates when he gets peed. He's racist. All kinds of problems with
him.
Yeah,
he's bad in enough ways that, like, I can't give a pass for any of them.
No.
there's too much.
And then there's going to be some hockey bros out there who are like, well, that's just rumor and speculation, innuendo. And I'm like, where there is that much smoke, there is fire.
Yep.
You know, there has been yeah, there's been all sorts of issues. But the thing that did kind of like delight me a little bit is once again, they played the offer sheet game with the Montreal Canadiens, and this time they won. And that's chaotic mm-hmm. energy right there. And I know that there are some pundits in the hockey world that live for this chaotic energy. Jeff Marek, I'm thinking about you.
Yep.
but it actually came off. It's the first offer sheet that's actually, you know, been accepted in, oh my God, how many years? Was Shea Weber the last one? I don't know. It's been yonks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they made an offer sheet for Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and he took it.
Which, I mean, that's, I appreciate the chaos of the offer sheet. And, you know, I'm just that's not enough for me to get over the signing of somebody who is to be toxic. And the thing that really, like, caps it is that the Edmonton Oilers traded Ethan Bear to Carolina, yeah, which just makes me so sad. Ethan Bear is, he is just this just sweet baby boy. He's 24. But yeah, he is a defenseman. He grew up in Saskatchewan on a First Nations reservation in northern Saskatchewan, I believe. And he grew up with the Oilers as his favorite team, and he was so proud to play. And they actually, for a couple of games, or I think it was preseason games, they had his name in Cree on the back of his jersey, and it just looked so cool. And everybody was just so excited. His family was so happy for him. And, you know, I understand how hockey works. I understand how the NHL works. It's not that big of a surprise that he got traded away. But the fact that he got traded away to a team with a guy recently signed who is known for racist remarks just makes me want to spit. I'm so upset. So I cannot be happy for the Canes, although I'm still rooting for Ethan Bear personally.
Yeah. Now here, this is something that's interesting to me, because I'm wondering, like, there's like levels of racism amongst racists. Mm-hmm. So like, some people are like, ah, they're not bad. Like, I'm not racist against them, but, you know, I'm racist against this
These
group.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Tony D has issues with black people. I don't know what his issues are with First Nations. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe
it'll
not.
Be fine. Mm-hmm. And he's an American. So American racists, you know, tend to be.
It's a different flavor. Having lived in both countries,
yeah,
I can tell you, yeah, that's a
different thing. Not that it's going to make any of it better. I'm just mm-hmm. saying there was a moment that the offer sheet chaos delighted me a little bit, and it just mm-hmm. made me think a little bit more kindly towards Caroline. And then I remembered, and then it's all back to that. And if everybody's like, what the heck is an offer sheet? Back in episode 32, we talked about offer sheets. It's basically where another team can come in and you have a restricted free agent. They can say, you know, hey, we'd like him. Here's some money. This is how much we want to pay him. And the team that has the rights has to match that or lose him. And, you know, obviously the player has some say in this, and the player decided, yeah,
yeah,
going for it. So
I'm going to go.
That was
betting on himself,
that was exciting,
as they say.
That was exciting. Mm-hmm. Both of our teams made some trades and signings, so that was kind of fun. We traded away Jake Voracek back to the team that we got him from originally during the great blood purge of 2010. and yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. That had been a rumor for a while, because, you know, I just think the time had come. But he was such a beloved part of hockey in Philadelphia that I was kind of surprised that it would have happened. Anyway, we got Cam Atkinson, which is kind of fun.
Nice.
Younger player. We got Ryan Ellis in, you know, to bolster up the date. Like, I'm not used to Philadelphia making trades for people that have a name. Like, we get a lot of third and fourth liners, or, you know, guys on the downswing. It's like, it's to aggressively go after a player who's not, who doesn't have to work on his game or reputation, or is on the downslide, just feels so odd and weird and kind of fun.
Meanwhile, I'm looking, I have not been paying much attention because, as I said, I'm the one that's just still feeling real icky about hockey. So I'm looking at the Oilers roster and I'm seeing, you know, a bunch of names that I recognize and also a bunch of names I don't. So it's very interesting. Like, I have no idea what this team is actually going to look like on the ice. And a number of the names that I recognize are names that I recognize because I remember them being drafted or, you know, playing with the AHL. And occasionally, you know, getting to come up for a couple of games at the beginning of the season, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know what our team is actually going to look like. I mean, I know that my favorites are going to be there. Like, we still have Leon Draisaitl. We still have Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. We still have Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And we still have Kyler Yamamoto for, I think, only one more year. I really, really hope he, like, kicks it into gear because I love him and I don't want to lose him. And Yessipulji-Järvi has been doing great over like the last year. So like there's some names that I'm really excited about. And then there's the names that I don't care about. And then there's the names that I don't recognize. And then there's our six goalies. So.
Oh, and one of your goalies is out all season from complications due to COVID, right?
Maybe. See, like I said, have not.
Yeah. Like one of your goalies has developed a heart condition.
Huh. Well, they're not listed here. There's nobody listed as being on injured reserve on the Edmonton Oilers 2020 roster, 2020-2021 roster.
So. Okay. So maybe I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to look that up now because I remember reading that and being like, yeah, it's no joke. No joke. And you guys got Zach Hyman, who was just a wonderful human being.
Yes. That's one of our new acquisitions, and I was like, I don't know who that guy is, but you said I should be happy, so I'm happy.
You should be happy because I, you know, I have flirted with the Maple Leafs a little bit as a backup boyfriend. So I do know a little bit of their roster, and he's fun. He's a fun player, and he's just like one of those good human beings. You know what I mean? Like I love
those
good human being. Speaking of Toronto, which is interesting to me, is Josh Hosang is on a PTO with Toronto right now. That's a story. Let me tell you. He is the player who overslept and missed the first day of training camp with the New York Islanders after he was drafted. And they immediately, like, you're done, bumped him down to the AHL. Like, just no second chances. Like,
and I saw him play before or after that happened. But I saw him play in Calgary when he was still with the Islanders. And I remember, you know, everybody was like, yeah, he's really, you know, he's a good player, but there's some issues. And I think we talked about that, like the character issues or attitude, I think, was the problem. So.
Right. Because I think, you know, he like, okay, I'm going to toe the line. Then he got a little bit of an attitude when toeing the line didn't do anything. So this is, and he played overseas last year. So it's like one of those players, like, okay, you make one mistake. Do you know what I mean? Like one thing, and it can ruin your life. And you work so hard to get. Like, I'm really pulling for him. I don't know much about him as a player. I don't want to say. I am going to say it. I do think that players of color are treated a little bit differently in the NHL now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking of Evander Kane, who, from my understanding, is a trash human being. And
it does
been,
appear to be the case.
Absolutely a trash human being. But there's a lot of trash human beings in the NHL. But you tend to hear a lot more about the trash players of color in the NHL. They seem to be held to a slightly higher standard than, say, a Patrick Kane. Yeah. So, you know, I'd love to see him prove everybody wrong and just get the chance that he felt that he was being denied. And if, you know, and if Toronto's the place for that, not maybe he turns out that he just doesn't have it. People have talked about his speed and his playing ability. And hopefully, you know, he can be the one who's rehabbed in another team.
He's the one that I'm rooting for.
Yeah, he's the one I'm rooting for. Evander Kane can die in a fire. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? Big news, the NHL is going back to the Olympics. which is
that's right
exciting.
Yep, people are very excited about that. I mean, with the caveat that depending on what the world looks like and, you know, COVID and stuff, that
I think that's just the caveat for everything, isn't it? It's just
it
a caveat
it totally
for everything.
Is. But I feel like unless something, you know, drastically goes the wrong direction or we have another variant or something, they will be going to the Olympics because they are like every single hockey boy I have seen interviewed about it has been real excited about it. Even if they're not the kind of person who's very good at public speaking, you can see it in their eyes. They want the chance to go.
And look, I understand the owner's position. You know, like, hey, we're sending our best players over there. There's risk of injury. It's going to impact our season. We're losing money. We got to shut down, yada, 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 yada. But this is the Olympics. I mean, at some point, you just have to hold something up for the greater good. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, every 4 years, give these boys a chance. Just, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And so, not just the U.S. and Canadian ones. Like, I want to see, you know, my fellas from other countries get to play for their nations, too.
It is. It's like you just can't replicate that. And, you know, we tried. We had the World Cup of Hockey thing when we had Team North America, you know, hand to God, best team ever.
Yep.
You know, I love tournaments like that. I love those kinds of tournaments. And if we're not going to have that again, which we haven't since 2016, you know, let's do the Olympics. Personally, I would love to see a rematch. Bring all those Team North America players back. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Would be unbelievably great.
It would be amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. So I think we keep dancing around this. We keep talking about the world. Where's the world going to be? How about we talk about some COVID protocols?
Sounds good. It's time for What the Puck, those things that maybe not everyone knows, but we all have to learn sometime.
Yeah, I edited that because we've all been talking about COVID. You know, and a lot of people are very up on what's happening with the COVID. So the NHL did come out with an official COVID policy. Basically, I don't know what agreement the NHLPA has, but they cannot require players to be vaccinated, right?
Yep.
They can require all support staff to be vaccinated. They can require the arenas can require everybody in the arena being vaccinated. But they can't require players to be vaccinated. However, that means those players are under more stringent rules than players who are vaccinated. Now, have you read up on any of this?
I have not so much.
Okay.
I do know that the Oilers have one player who is not vaccinated. And Josh Archibald, you were my favorite little honey badger before, but I disavow all of that now.
Yeah, there's a couple players out that are just holding out. They are just holding out. Now, here's the problem. So the players that are unvaccinated have to be tested like constantly. I don't know how many hours it has to be. When they are on the road, they have to abide by whatever city, state, province COVID requirements are. So for example, they're not allowed to not allowed to have anybody in their rooms. They're not allowed to go out to eat with their teammates. They're not allowed to go to restaurants. Like, they are under serious lockdown.
Yep.
Because, even as we all know, even if you get vaccinated, you can still catch COVID. You are not going to get a severe of a case. You are not going to die. You know,
probably.
You may have a mild, you may have a very mild case of it, but you can still catch it. And that can shut down a team.
Yep.
The other thing is, if a player who has the vaccination and catches COVID, they will be put on injured reserve. If a player who is unvaccinated and catches COVID, they are going to lose money as if they just missed a game.
Mm-hmm.
So the NHL is trying to make it as unpleasant as possible for players who don't get the vaccine and hoping to encourage them again with a stick to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the rub, a hockey stick. Here's the rub. And this is the problem that they were having with one of the Detroit players who was refusing the vaccine. They play 14 games in Canada this year, and Canada requires a 2-week quarantine.
Yep. If you're not vaccinated.
If you're not vaccinated. So what happens? Like, if you don't play the game, you don't get paid. That's already been determined. So if you miss those 14 games, you are losing 14 games worth of salary, which is a pretty big financial hit. But also, you are removing a key piece of your team.
Yeah.
Who won't be able to play.
And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the NHL is very sort of subtly and sometimes not so subtly anti-individuality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole sort of ethos of the NHL as a player organization is you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your team. It's not the name on the back. It's not the number on the back. It's the logo on the front. That is sort of the way that they are taught and brought up to think about it. So when you have a player who decides that they are not going to get vaccinated, then that's really, really stepping out of line with the sort of ideals of the NHL, because you are completely making it about yourself. And I'm very interested to see how that affects, you know, the locker room. How is that going to affect the team? And are these players just going to end up getting benched a lot more simply because of that action?
Yeah, I can't even imagine if what I would feel like if I had somebody with this attitude who was going to hurt my chances to win a game. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think who the Red Wing player is. I'm Googling it right now as we speak, which is really bad protocol. Oh, it's Tyler Bertuzzi. Okay. Who is a significant player for them, you know. Yep. There's a lot of like players who are, you know, they would be shipped down to the AHL anyway, and nobody would really notice, right? Mm-hmm. They might get a couple minutes a game, or they might just be that player that's sitting on the bench in case somebody gets hurt. Who knows? But you know, you have a player like this who makes a significant impact on their team, and all of a sudden you remove that key piece. So, do you just plan on not practicing with him? Do you plan on? And it says here, the Washington Post, it says he's ready to sit out rather than go to Canada. So he's going to forfeit 9 games this season. Just personal choice, freedom of choice, and life choice is what he told reporters.
I mean, that's the courage of your convictions, I guess, but those are really misguided convictions.
Let me tell you, this is not going to sit well. This is not going to sit well. And he said it was pretty, his decision's pretty set in stone. He's not going to do it. So as a coach, what do you do? Do you like remove him from the lineup because he's not going to be playing those games? Do you like, I can't even imagine the coaching challenge that presents.
Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, it's going to screw your whole lineup.
It is. It's either going to make it inconsistent, or you're going to lose a really important part, or like there's no good answer for this.
There really isn't.
You know, getting the player vaccinated, which, you know, and there are many of the arenas. I know the arena staff at Rogers Place in Edmonton, they are required to be vaccinated. But because of the NHL Players Association, the NHL can't require them to get vaccinated. So there are an awful lot of NHL and NHL adjacent employees who have to be vaccinated in order to keep their jobs. The players just are not under that same umbrella.
Right. Now, for the most part, the majority of players in the NHL are. And there's been a lot of teams that come out and say, hey, we're 100% vaxxed. Mm-hmm. We're ready to go. You know, we are, the Flyers are. And you just see that rolling out constantly. I think the Islanders have a player who's not, but he's not. Again, he'll be in the AHL. So it's just astonishing to me how this is going to play out, especially with a player who, you know, does have a fairly significant contract and is supposed to be a fairly significant player. I think that's the biggest name so far that I've seen. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It really is going to be interesting to see how the NHL handles this and how their teammates handle it, because I know I'd be pissed. I'd be really pissed if this is a player on my line and all of a sudden we've got chemistry going and we're really rolling it out, and well, whoops, we're going to Canada for a road trip. I'll see you guys later. And I got to start with a new line eight. Yeah, that would not be cool.
I mean, if they have a long enough road trip, in Canada. And I have not looked at the schedule to see how this plays out. If they have a long enough road trip, they could do the quarantine and possibly play some of the games. But boy, that just seems like it would shake things up as one of the other players on the team. Oh, great. I'm playing with a different line now. I have to reset the chemistry, which admittedly, you know, they're professionals. It's part of the game. That's one of the things that they learn to do. But still, the reasoning for this is so much more spurious than, say, somebody getting injured.
Right. Frustrating. That's really frustrating. All right. So those are the official NHL protocols. Now, here's something that you were tweeting about yesterday. This is the unofficial impact of COVID due to NHL protocols. So after you tweeted, why don't you explain your beef? And then I will jump in with a little bit of my research.
Okay. So first of all, there's sort of two different things that are happening here. We do have Rogers Place, which is where the Edmonton Oilers play, require either proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test, an official one, within 72 hours of the game's scheduled start time. And I would just like, for a second, I would just like to say I would be much more likely to go to an Edmonton Oilers game if there was just proof of vaccination required, because that negative test in 72 hours is leaving a giant wide open door for COVID to just saunter right in. So anyway, that's one thing I'm upset about, but that's not the thing you were mentioning. So that is the proof of vaccination policy for the Edmonton Oilers facility. And what that means is that as you go up to, you know, enter the arena, they will be checking to look at your proof of vaccination or your proof of your negative COVID test, et cetera, et cetera. And because Rogers Place does not have any capacity limits right now, it can be full as can be, which I'm super not happy about. That is going to add a significant amount of time to people coming into the building, because you've got to check everybody's status of vaccination. So one of the, I suspect, and it has not been, you know, nobody has come out and said it, but one of the, I suspect, knock-on effects of this is sort of an unofficial impact, is Rogers Place just yesterday announced a new bag policy. And I recognize that there are different bag policies in different places. I've gone to lots of hockey games in multiple countries, and different arenas have different bag policies. And honestly, I think most of them all suck to begin with. But I'm just saying the timing of this one is incredibly suspect, because I really, really feel like they are putting in this new bag policy simply to speed things up, to get people to get into the arena faster because of the vaccination protocol. And if it were a bag policy that affected everybody equally, maybe I would feel a little bit better about it. It's still just security theater as far as I'm concerned. But their new policy is, this is the way that they state it on their website, to ensure a safe environment for fans, eliminate unnecessary contact at entry gates, and to accelerate fan entry into the arena, the NHL and Rogers Place have implemented a no bag policy that prohibits all bags from being brought into Rogers Place by fans. I would just like to point out that the to reduce contact thing is complete BS, because we now know that COVID is not transferred by contact. There's not even good proof that the common cold is transferred that way. So angry about that. It says small clutch bags and wallets are still permitted, but they don't actually define what that is or what that means. And that's not terribly helpful for an awful lot of things. Clothes that are made for femme-presenting people do not have pockets that you can fit like phones in. I only have one pair of jeans where I can fit my phone in the pocket, because that's just the way that clothes are made. If I have my period and I need to bring some tampons or pads or something like that, no, like those aren't things that you can easily fit into women's pockets. People who need to bring in diapers for their children, like that's a sucky thing. What if you are disabled and you need some type of aids, some medication, that kind of stuff to be able to enjoy a hockey game all the way through? They do say on the website that exceptions to this policy will be made for diaper bags and medically necessary items after proper X-ray inspection. And it's just basically, to me, it feels like it is a policy that hurts people who already feel marginalized in the NHL fandom community. The people who are already feeling unwelcome are now feeling even more unwelcome based on this policy, which is brought in just all of a sudden. And I mean, it's it has caused quite a furore here. One of our MLAs, our members of the Legislative Assembly, has actually even been tweeting at Rogers Place about how discriminatory this policy is against some people. And I will just say that this type of bag policy is not particularly helpful in terms of safety. You can Google it. You can find articles about how the security theater in this way doesn't actually help anybody, except for maybe makers of clear bags. But we don't even have a clear bag policy here. There are places that will allow you to bring in a bag of whatever size as long as it's clear so you can see what's in there. But there's been research to show that that's just kind of it doesn't really help as much as they think it helps anyway. So anyway, I was very upset about this yesterday. The timing is terrible. It's making me feel even less. Like, I wanted to go to a game a couple months ago and I thought things would be okay. Then they came out with their policy and they're allowing people in with a negative COVID test 72 hours before the game starts. So it was like
a lifetime.
Yeah. And now there's this bag policy. And you know what? I almost never bring a bag to the game. It's rare that I am in a position where I need to, but I'm still upset because it affects people that are, like I said, already feel like they're unwelcome in NHL fandom in a lot of cases. And I'm ticked off.
Yeah, at a minimum, like, I need a phone. I need my keys. I need a glasses cleaner because I hate my glasses smudge. And I need a lip balm. I don't go anywhere without a lip balm. Women's pockets, wallet, keys. And some money, you know what I mean? An ID, yep. Need that. This is a policy made for men who have pockets, by men who have pockets.
Also,
they do not understand.
I should point out that the vaccination card in Alberta that the government has put out that you can download and print off and edit, because once again, it's an editable PDF. Thanks, Alberta, Alberta Health. It is not wallet size. They call it wallet size, but it is not. It is not the size of a credit card. It is considerably bigger. So if you actually want to keep that thing in one piece, there's no women's pocket that's going to fit in. I'm sorry.
I know. So here's the curious thing. So after you tweeted that this morning, and I said, hockey is for everyone unless you've got shit to carry, which is, that's it. I thought, well, you know, Rogers Place, what's Wells Fargo? What's their policy? They have the exact same policy. Small clutch or wallet you're allowed to bring in. Unless, again, if it's a diaper bag or a medical equipment needs to come in, same policy, it'll be searched and x-rayed. So I thought, let me look around.
Way to make disabled people feel even, less welcome.
So let me Google around a little bit. So I went to Anaheim, to the Honda Center, and looked at their policy, because I was looking, okay, so who's at full capacity, who's at half capacity, because I know Toronto's not at full capacity yet. They're only allowing, I don't know, 60% or something. Wells Fargo's at full capacity, but masks are required, no vaccination requirement. Like, it's like everybody is wildly different as far as what they're doing, allowing fans in, or whether vaccination, that's like locally, whatever your local government is deciding is how the arenas are handling it. However, on the Honda Center website, they talk about their bag policy, and they said, in accordance with NHL safety and security guidelines, bags, backpacks, purses, totes, clear bags, fanny packs, and camera bags are not permitted inside Honda Center. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. So I was reading back down a little bit, and it said, all NHL games, all arena entrances will only permit wallets 4 by 5 inches or smaller. And then it talks about if it's a diaper bag or whatever, what they'll do. For non-NHL events, the single wallet, single pocket clutch, 5 by 9 inch, like the normal size, will be allowed to go through all the entrances. If it's a bag that's bigger, a bag or clutch or purse that's within the 16 by 12 by 12, which is pretty standard for any event, has to go through additional screening. So it sounds to me like this isn't a arena policy. This is an NHL policy. Now, I've not been able to find that. I have been Googling around. But that seems to be universal. And again, Honda Center would not make a specific policy just for NHL games unless it was mandated.
Yeah, that is interesting. Because like I said, the bag policy does say the NHL and Rogers Place have implemented a no bag policy. Mm-hmm. So,
but it was like, NHL guidelines.
And this is new.
Yeah.
And so, I know that like in Canada for a very long time, there were no metal detectors at most hockey arenas mm-hmm. until the NHL said you must have metal detectors. So it wouldn't be the first time the NHL had an edict that just carried on to everyone.
Yep. So I know this has been causing all sorts of consternation in California as well, because people were like, same thing. Women don't have pockets. What the heck are you talking about? Like, I feel very discriminated against. So there was an article. I actually had a big tweet storm about people like, how am I supposed to go to this game? Like, how am I supposed to do this? Mm-hmm. So, and again, it's not a well thought out policy, because it was made by some dudes who don't think this is an issue because they've got 47 pockets in their pants and have enough room for that and a hoagie, you know, to go into a game if they need to.
No. I'm thinking of a mutual friend who will just show up places with an entire bottle of whiskey in one pocket and an entire bottle of wine in the other pocket. And I'm always just like, are you a magician? No, he's just a guy who wears pants that are made for masculine presenting people.
That have really good pockets. So,
yep.
Is this like, is Fanatics now going to come out with a line of like game day wear that have a lot of pockets for women? Is this just like another marketing grab?
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
Because, I mean, the whole clear bag thing, like there's stores that have, I got an advertisement from Kendra Scott Jewelers that offering their cute little clear bags for game day, the game day bag. Like, this is it. Fanatics is going to come out with a line of women's wear for hockey that's going to have 1,000 pockets.
Great.
Put money on it.
Yeah. So, then put money down for it if you want to buy them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, it's interesting to see. And again, everybody is going to have to judge their own comfort level. The purse thing is annoying as heck. It really mm-hmm. is. And I just hope the backlash against this is like, come on. Like, is it worth alienating? And some people are probably out there like, yeah, it'll get the chicks to stay home. Mm-hmm. But NHL, you know, seriously, what the heck are you doing here? You just really did not think this went through. Talk to your wives. Talk to your girlfriends. Like, let them tell you how stupid this is. Seriously.
Yeah.
Have them show you their clothes with these zero pockets. Or my favorite, the fake pocket.
Yeah, it looks like you got a pocket, but that's not a thing.
There's it's not a pocket. There. It goes down an inch for no purpose.
If you're lucky.
Exactly. But again, everybody's going to have to look at their own home arena or whatever arena they're visiting and decide, what is your personal comfort level? And again, Philadelphia doesn't requires masks or vaccine proof, and they decide to go with the mask. Because again, it would be easier. It's not going to slow anybody down because we don't have to check our vaccination status. So why can't I bring a bag in?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Why can't I bring a bag?
I will say for Rogers Place that they have their vaccination policy, and also face coverings are required except when actively eating or drinking. So, you know, mm-hmm. that does make me a little bit more interested in going to a game, but like not with the bag thing, and B, not with that 72 hours test thing. Also, the fact that Alberta has editable PDFs, once again, I will say that, for the vaccine proof makes me think that, yeah, like,
you are never not
going to
say that.
Every
time you say vaccine proof in an editable PDF is going to be like the follow-up line.
It is. It is. Because who, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. I don't know. I'm not ready yet. I need to see a little bit more proof that this isn't going to be a super spreader event. You know, I've gotten this far, right? And you have to judge your own risk level. Like, what are you willing to risk for risk it for a biscuit? And I'm just not there for that. I was okay with the outdoor games, even though I have my mask on, unless I am actively eating and drinking. You know, they should like include straws. I could like bring my own straw and just like sip beer through a straw.
There you go. Just tuck it right underneath the mask.
Underneath the mask. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and I had been, I will say, I had been excited about hockey again, you know, a few months ago before our fourth wave really, really hit and things got bad again, because I was thinking, okay, we've gotten to the point where people are getting vaccinated. We're going to beat this. We're going to have protocols in place. And I'm super excited to be able to go see a hockey game again. And I was stoked. So all of this makes me even sadder because it was like I had that hope and then I had it pulled out from underneath me by our provincial government by doing stupid things, and then pulled out from underneath me by the NHL and Rogers Place for him doing this inane thing. So I am, it was a very cranky night last night, and I'm glad that you allowed me to vent a little bit here.
Well,
shame on you. Shame on you.
You needed to be said, and you need to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. The arenas all over the country, in the States, at least here, are doing it. So it's, again, it sounds to me like the NHL said, hey, let's do this thing. It'll help prevent, again, the contact thing, which we've all have learned that is not necessarily a thing. It's all aerosol. So does it matter if your bag has been exposed? If you're up there hacking away, geez. All right. Enough of that. Enough of that. I'm sure we'll be coming back to that as the season progresses. But what do you think? You got a hockey tidbit for us?
I do, sort of. Like, it's a little bit of an odd hockey tidbit. It's more of our hockey podcast tidbit. But
cool.
I had been thinking about how, you know, we're going to try to get back into the swing of things, talk about hockey a little bit more often. And we have an entirely new team, which we spent a little bit of time talking about, the Kraken. And I am suspecting and hoping that there will be a bunch of sports fans, and even maybe not sports fans, in Seattle who don't know a ton about hockey, but are really excited to get into it, because I want to cheer for their cool team. Or even people outside of Seattle who are just like, that logo is freaking amazing. I am going to cheer for this team, but I don't know anything about hockey. Well, I mean, that is part of why we started this podcast, was to help people learn about hockey. If you are a new fan and, you know, don't necessarily know all of the ins and outs and stuff. So, you know, this is episode 46. So we've got a whole bunch of previous episodes where we talked about all kinds of specific things, like what is a defenseman? Well, you know, what do sportscasters mean when they talk about the original six teams? What's a black ace? What is an emergency backup goalie? All of these kinds of terms and waivers and all kinds of stuff. We have great information in our back catalog. But I will say that we had not been including chapter markers in our previous podcasts. That's just an extra step that we hadn't gone through. And those segments usually come later in the podcast. And the beginning of the podcast is usually the two of us talking about, you know, fun hockey stuff that is not evergreen. It's more stuff that was happening in that particular week. So I'm pledging to you, as our Beginner's Puck listeners, that I am going to go through our back catalog and I am going to add chapter markers for the segments where we talk about stuff that is more evergreen, so that you can go back into our back catalog, skip all of the stuff that doesn't matter anymore, or you can listen to it if you want to hear us talking about, stuff about, like, when Vegas was new. Like, you want to hear us talking about a new team that's not Seattle, sure, you can listen to that, or you can skip right ahead in your podcatcher to the chapter marker for the segments. And we also have a spreadsheet, which we will be putting a link to, which has time markers. Not every podcatcher allows you to skip ahead into the next chapter, so this will also tell you what timestamp to fast forward to. I'm going to revamp all of that stuff and make it so that people who are interested in learning about hockey and hockey culture and stuff can do that more easily with help from Beginner's Puck.
Yeah, that is so cool. And again, that spreadsheet will have the topic of the meaty,
yes,
chunky bit, not, you know, again, because we talk about a lot of topical stuff. And just honestly, this whole podcast is just an excuse for Erica and I to spend some time talking about hockey together, because we live completely in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice chat for us. That's not always interesting 2 years on. I mean, I don't know that necessarily I would be that interested in it, but so the parts where we talk about the actual hockey knowledge, the thing that we want to pass on to you, that maybe even that we just learned, because a lot of the times, you know, we're relatively new hockey fans in the world of sports.
Yep.
I have to look stuff up. And once I look stuff up and then I understand it, and rules change. So some things, some things that were set in stone, 10 years ago, we're no longer set in stone. So it's interesting.
The stone has weathered away.
It absolutely has. So so you'll be able to say, you know, go to the spreadsheet and look and say, well, I'm really interested to know what this term is, or maybe somebody can explain this to me. And hey, if we've got anything wrong, just let us know. We'll go back and fix it. perhaps in another episode, because I think we know more now. We know more now than we did then. So that's really exciting, because I know that is exactly the type of podcast I was looking for when I was a new hockey fan. And it didn't exist. It was really, there was a lot of advanced hockey stuff out there. I had no idea. There was words coming out of people's mouths, and I knew they were English. I just couldn't put them together to make any sort of sense.
Those words in that order, no sense.
Yeah, it didn't mean anything. So that's a great project. I'm really looking forward to being able to offer that to listeners, both old and new. So cool stuff. All right. Well, you have been listening to Beginner's Puck. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Catsfield production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at Beginner's Puck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.